Well, praise the Lord for the kingdom.
Amen.
Can we all say that? Praise the Lord for the kingdom.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord for the kingdom.
Are you in the kingdom today? Or are you just sitting here in the meeting hall? In the kingdom? You convince me that you're in the kingdom? Well, what kind of a kingdom is it? Right. Today, the Lord is really building, like our brother shared, an unshakable kingdom. Why is it called unshakable? Because there's a warfare going on. Right. In the history of the world, no kingdom is everlasting. How many years did Babylonian kingdom stand or stood?
300?
No, come on, it's not that long from Nebuchadnezzar, if you count it. Right. And then the captivity in Babylon, how many years?
70 years.
So it is not very long, because right after the 70 years of captivity, King Cyrus came and destroyed the Babylonian kingdom. It didn't last actually very long because the head is very small compared to the two shoulders and the body, right? It is not very long. It was glorious, but it was not very long. The glory of Babylonian kingdom did not last very long. And what about the Persian kingdom? Is it everlasting? No. It wasn't everlasting. It's a bit longer than the Babylonian kingdom. But it was not everlasting. Which kingdom was everlasting? The Greek kingdom? Alexander the Great? I don't know why it's called the Great. He is not that great. Just call him Alex. And he passed away when he was about 34 years old. It's very short. And right after that, what happened to his kingdom? It was divided, split into four kingdoms. And there's a lot of problems in all these four kingdoms. I think everybody who knows history, you definitely know none of this kingdom is everlasting, is it? What about Hitler's kingdom? Very short-lived. Very short-lived. Right. Even the Roman Empire, okay, a little bit longer, but it was split into two, the Western and the Eastern. It was a little bit longer, but the Roman Empire itself did not continue. It kept on changing. Okay, let's jump to the kingdom of democracy. USA started in 1776, and today is 2024, it is. How many years? 248 years. Now it's coming to an end.
Yes.
It's not everlasting. In this condition, it won't last very long. How long do you think it's going to last? Everything has been going downhill, destroyed. Even the whole world, even Europe. Look at Germany. How is Germany doing?
Very bad.
Huh? Very bad, he says. But it was once upon a time very successful, right? After the war, they rebuilt. Look at their technology, especially the German cars. Right? Oh, yeah, Mercedes. Well, Mercedes I know is in my garage. Right. It is your dog. That's why he's in the garage. Even their economy is going down, and their technology is not that great anymore. Right? Hey, is Europe thriving? No, everything is going down. Everything. Especially in this country. I told the people and everybody, today you just have to take care of two nations. The rest is not very important in the prophecies of the Bible. Of course, the one nation that you have to take care of is what? Which kingdom? It's in the Middle East. Israel. Why is Israel so important? Because it is related to God. That's why it's called Israel. The word is Elohim, is God. It's the Prince of God. It has something directly to do with God. The nation was started by God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc., right? And then what about United States? It's also related to God. That's why it's called In God We Trust. One nation under God. There's no other nations in the world today that is related to God. In fact, they don't believe in God too much. Right. But what's happening now to this nation, to this kingdom? Let me tell you one thing. Right. You take care of these two kingdoms, see what's going on, then you will know what's going to happen to the whole world. If this nation collapses, the whole world will collapse. Because, you remember, I don't have a thing here to draw that figure in Daniel chapter 2. Right? The whole figure shows, and this is God's wisdom, that the whole kingdom in this world started with the Babylonian kingdom. Why? Why did it start with the Babylonian kingdom? Because at that time, the kingdom of God, Israel, the earthly kingdom, was already corrupted. They became idol worshippers, worse than the nations. This is why God gave them up, brought them to Babylon in captivity. And they never recovered after that. Although Zerubbabel and Joshua returned, but they never recovered. Look at the age of the Lord's first coming. Was Israel in good condition? How did they treat the Messiah? They want to get rid of the Messiah, the king. Listen, at that time when Israel was representing God's kingdom, God brought them out of Egypt, right? You know, King James. What for? Why did God redeem his people out of Egypt? Why? To build a kingdom. It's not just for them to enjoy the good land, right? But in that piece of land, God wanted to build his kingdom. In Jerusalem, in Zion. What's the difference between Zion and Jerusalem? It's very difficult because these two names are connected. These two names. Like United States and America, it's the same name, right? But here you can see, according to the Bible, Jerusalem emphasizes the house of the living God, the temple. It's the place where God's people come together to worship and keep the feasts. Jerusalem, the house of God. But what about Zion? Zion is called the city of the great king. It started by being called the City of David. Who is David?
King David.
Just one king? How many kings are there? So many kings are there. But David, David is a wonderful name. And our Lord Jesus Christ is known as the Son of David. Maybe you didn't know that. When he was on this earth, many people called Jesus, Jesus, thou Son of David. It is a title. How many sons did David have? But this wonderful Lord Jesus, promised in the Bible, is called the Son of David. This is why in the book of Matthew, the introduction of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David. Why is he called the Son of David? Because he is the heir to the throne, the king, the king. Wonderful king. Now, let me come back to Israel. What was the reason that Israel really went down? Mo, think of a good reason why Israel went down. In the Old Testament age, from the very beginning until the end.
Idolatry.
Why did they go into idolatry?
They departed from the Lord.
And why did they depart from the Lord? Well, who told you that?
Bible.
Where in the Bible? First Samuel chapter 8, verse 7. your number 7 is right. What did he say? Somebody read it, please. To everybody. Good. Go ahead. Loudly. Right. Can he imagine? They wanted to have a king like all the other nations. The one that they choose to be king. And that's already a terrible thing. Can you imagine? God wanted to be their king. And God did everything for them. Coming out of Egypt. Who could save them out of Egypt? Moses? No, it wasn't Moses. It was God. Moses became so popular among the Jews. He became more popular than God. Can you imagine that? So they rejected God to be their king. That is a great, great mistake. Who could be a better king than God? And among all the kings there, who was perfect? Was David perfect? No. If you read Psalm 51, David's confession was very touching. He said he was born in sin. He was conceived in sin. Yeah. So among the kings reported in 1st, 2nd Samuel, Kings and Chronicles, at the very end, the terrible, one of the most terrible king was Manasseh. You know what he did? He chopped the prophet Isaiah into pieces. Can you imagine that? Cut Isaiah into pieces. Oh. Oh, wow, Isaiah, you're a martyr. The prophet Isaiah is one of the very well-known prophets in the Old Testament days. Yeah. They rejected a king. Then when the Messiah came, who is the Messiah? You think a savior? He was a king. In Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, behold, your king cometh. He is the king. Amen. The son of David. He's the king. In a nation, the most important person is the king, right? If you've got a bad king, it's not good for your nation. If you have a terrible president, it's terrible. The nation becomes, I don't know what, go down the drain. The Messiah came. And you have to remember, the Messiah for you today, for us Christians, is the Savior, right? But actually, it is the King. Messiah in Christ means the anointed King. He's the anointed one. So when the Lord Jesus came, and they were waiting for a king to come. But when Jesus came, he didn't look like a king. Isaiah 53, says there was no beauty in him that would draw us to him. So they didn't realize. And then, but they saw that this king has done so many wonderful things that nobody else could do. Yeah, he could heal so many sick people, cast out demons. What else did he do? Change water into wine, just like that. You feel that, what do you call that? Pot. Right. Supposed to be pure, right? Filled it with water and pour it out, becomes wine. And it's the best wine. Who could do that? Who could walk on sea? Who could do that? Who could stop the storm, command the wind, and even the wind, listen. They were all surprised. My goodness, who is this man that even the storm listens to him? Can you do that? It was hot, 100 degrees in the Silicon Valley. You command weather to change to 70 degrees. Will it be like that? Can you do it?
I wish.
You wish. Keep on wishing. Who could do that? Who could raise up Lazarus from the dead? And they don't want such a king. Who could feed 10,000 more people with how many fish? Five loaves and two fish. Who could do that? Try it tomorrow, okay? Just bring five loaves and two fish tomorrow to feed, not 10,000, but less than 100. Try it, okay? Can you do that? Who can do that? Such a king, will you reject such a king? But they did. They did. So where is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? Even the wise men from the east came. They were not even Jews. They were probably from Persia. They heard the gospel a long time ago from Daniel. And they didn't have the Bible, but they had a star. And the star led them to Bethlehem. What question did he ask? Oh, where is the one who is going to be born Savior, Redeemer in Israel? If they asked that question, It would not cause trouble. Okay. Oh, Redeemer. Okay. Savior. But what was the question? Where is the one to be born King of the Jews? Herod almost got a heart attack. I am the king. What do you think? Someone's going to be born as King of the Jews? Even these wise men from the East knew the Messiah was the King of the Jews. How come the Jews didn't know that? But what about us Christians? If you talk about Jesus, nobody would tell you, oh, Jesus, yeah, he's our king. Have you ever heard that?
Very rarely.
Rarely? How rare?
Almost nothing.
Is it almost? Wow. Nobody would tell you Jesus is our king. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. Nobody would tell you, oh, yeah, he's the king sitting on the throne, although it's written. The king came to them. Even Pontius Pilate. When Jesus was crucified as a criminal, Pontius Pilate should have written that sign on the cross on the top. Jesus of Nazareth, a criminal. But he wrote what? Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, they protested. But Pontius Pilate says, sorry, I'm not going to change my mind. It's written, it's written. Even he knew. How come the people didn't know? But how come we Christians do not know that Jesus is our King? And at the very end, in his second coming, he is not only a king, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you expecting him to come as what? It's a wonderful title. Nobody, no one else in this whole universe has this title, King of Kings. You want to give this title to somebody sitting in Washington? Mm-hmm. King of Kings. You're only King James. Because your last name is King. That's why I call you King James. It's translated into English. James King. You can register at the university with a new name. Tell them, if I tell you my name is James Wang, nobody's knowing Wang. Wang? What's Wang? So you can change it to James King. But when the Lord comes, it's written there. He is the King. Even Paul wrote, he is the only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul even knew that. How come we don't? How come it doesn't make any feelings or sense in our heart that our Lord is such a great King? This morning we said, a kingdom without a king, it's not much of a kingdom. It becomes a lawless, if everybody is the king, like in Christianity today, everybody building their own little kingdom. Everybody. That's why you have so many divisions today. What does the Lord say in the word? A kingdom divided in itself is wonderful because now it's spread everywhere with so many divisions. Isn't that wonderful? What do you think, Emmanuel?
Oh, so many little kingdoms.
What did you say?
DEI.
Oh, the spelling is new. The first time I heard this word, diversity.
No. Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
It's sad. It is really sad. It is really sad. We as Christians today, without the concept of the kingdom, then we divide. Can you divide Canada? Why don't you build your own Canada? Tell them, I'm the new Moses today. I'm going to build a revived Canada. Nobody came to that idea, right? Because it's a nation. You cannot divide it. So we have to see that we Christians today really don't have a concept concerning the church and God's people being a kingdom. You do what you want. Lawless. Because we don't have a king. Who decides what to do? Who is responsible? In the 60 years of my life serving, I've seen so many terrible divisions among God's people. And it did so much damage. A lot of people left even the faith. Yeah. Seeing so many troubles. It never stops. Until this very day. Until this very day. What can we do? They rejected the Lord. You think they will take you? No. If they rejected the Lord, they will also reject all those who speak the truth. Because the disciples will never, ever be greater than their master. If they persecuted me, the Lord said, they will persecute you. Are you bigger, greater, more influential than the master? No. No. At the end, look, all the churches left Paul. So Paul must have done something wrong, right? Did you find any mistake in Paul's epistle? No. How come they left Paul? Because they don't want anyone to tell them what to do. They want to do what they want to do. And then there are many other false kings, so to speak, who wants power. This is a big problem. Right? Even in the church that is supposed to be at least better than many others, oh, the elders there would think we are in charge. Once you think you are in charge, that will be the problem of the church, wherever you are. Who is in charge? The king? What is the trouble in this country? It's the one who is in charge, the party who is in power. So is it the Lord who is the king? They're opposing the Lord. They don't even believe in God. Although it's written in the Constitution, one nation under God. And in the dollar, they should have changed it in dollar we trust. It's better. They speak the truth. Change it. Reprint the dollar. This is a big, big trouble. Not only in the kingdom of the Lord with us Christians, but it's everywhere. So there's no difference. No difference. Unless the Lord open our eyes to see that today he is building his church. But remember, the most important is not the kingdom itself, it is the king. If you rejected the king and you replace the king, I don't care with who, with whom you replaced the kingship with, you're in trouble. Because no one of us is free from all kinds of corruption. This is why our brother mentioned Revelation chapter 5, when John was up there, he was weeping. You see, you should be so happy that you're up there in heaven, right? If you're up there in heaven, wow, you'll be so happy, right? You're there. Not in Toronto, but you're in heaven. But how come John was weeping there? Why was he weeping?
No one was worthy.
No one was worthy to do what? What is that scroll? That is God's plan and God's judgment to restore the kingdom. And how come there are so many good angels there? Michael was there. Gabriel was there. Weren't they worthy to take that book? Why not? They're good angels. They're not men. That's an amazing answer. And why is man so important? It was God's plan. It was so important that the Lord himself came to redeem us and paying such a big price, and yet we, the people on this earth, we don't appreciate it. If somebody would pay your tuition, would you appreciate it? Oh, come on, really? But who's going to do it for you? You. Why would you do it? Because you love him. He's your son, your only begotten son. God sent his only begotten son to redeem us, to gain the kingdom. Amen. He didn't come just to redeem us. He became a man to fulfill God's plan. The cross is only necessary because we were fallen, got deceived by the enemy. But actually, God's plan is to bring him to the throne, sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we have to appreciate it that God is building his kingdom with us today for his coming. If you don't see it, you will not appreciate it. to be his kingdom today on this earth and to represent his kingdom, it is not easy. Because as his kingdom, the main thing is you have to be one with the king. Just like when the Lord was on this earth, he was fully, 100% one with the Father. He never did anything apart from God the Father. But what about us? We do so many things not asking him. We do what we want. We make our own decision. Do what is right in our own eyes. Everybody has his own opinion. You know, when we started to talk about the true worship in about 2014, it caused trouble. Because we talked about that the Father is seeking a very special type of worship. It's written, and it's not from Paul, it's not from John, it's from the Lord Jesus that says the time has come. The Father is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in reality. Can you imagine such a message could cause trouble? Because the reaction was, you mean to say what we are doing today is not worship? And we never force anybody. We're just speaking what the Lord said. The time has come that a true worshiper must worship him in this way. In spirit. Firstly, because the building of God today is spiritual. You have to be in spirit, not in the flesh, not in your soul, and not in yourself. And then, in truth. What is truth? Reality. And who is the reality? The Lord says, I am the truth. And you have to read Leviticus to understand, and Deuteronomy, the book of Moses. If you don't read the book of Moses, you will not understand what the Lord Jesus said in just one sentence. But you know what they say? That's the Old Testament. Who says that's the Old Testament? So, big problem. And somebody says, calling Abba Father is already worship. Some young people ask me, I said, according to Galatians 4, in Romans chapter 8, saying Abba Father is sonship, not worship. It's the wrong ship. Huh? Better abandon that ship. No, don't abandon. Correct it. Because we need a sonship. We are not against calling Abba Father. But that is for a sonship, our relationship with the Father. If you call your father sitting right there, oh, Dad, doesn't mean you're worshiping him. No. It's the relationship. Not worship. But that caused so much trouble. Speaking the truth will always cause trouble. You cannot imagine goodness. Speaking the truth will cause such trouble. But we, and the Lord is our witness, we never force anybody to do it. Have I ever forced the saints there to bring offerings to the Father? Well, why did you do it? Because you saw the truth in a Bible. That's the only reason we do it. Right, Isaiah? Yeah. So, we have to listen to the King.
Amen, amen.
Not according to your concept, your opinion. It's not whether you like it or you don't like it. What can you do? If you go to the University of Toronto, you better do what the university asks you to do, okay? Don't say, I don't like it. And I don't like this course. I don't agree with that professor. I don't this. You know what they will tell you? Go home. But we, the believers, very opinionated. We do what we like. We do what we like. And this is a big problem. No king, there will be confusion everywhere. Everyone can do whatever they like, just like in this country today. You can do anything you like except the truth. If you do the truth, they're going to persecute you and lock you up. But the rest, you can do anything you like, it's all right. It's the opposite. Because there is no law, no king. The most important person in a kingdom is the king. Remember that. Do not ever replace him, because no one is qualified to replace him. We can share the truth, but it doesn't mean that we are ruling or controlling. No. No, we are not. If you see, you see. If you don't see, okay, God will not even force you to do it. Amazing. Our God has such a great heart. And giving us many chances to repent. Amazing. This is really amazing. We have a wonderful King who is both very righteous. In him there is no unrighteousness, no sin found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Pontius Pilate confessed to everyone, I didn't find any fault in this person. Even he understood that Jesus was completely innocent. But they wanted to kill him. All of them, the whole nation, can you imagine? That is why, okay, you killed the king, you don't want him. The Lord sent the prince of the Roman Empire, Titus, to come and destroy not only the people, but the temple, and not only Jerusalem, but the whole nation. So where is the kingdom? The earthly kingdom is gone. The earthly kingdom is really gone. I just want to impress upon all of you here to pray about it. Ask the Lord to open your eyes concerning his kingdom on this earth. It is not a simple thing. Now, let me tell you another point that is important. During the Old Covenant days, it is an earthly kingdom, the Jews, the earthly people. You remember the descendants of Abraham. One is like the sand on the sea, so many people. Where is the sea? Up there? The sand? Have you ever been to a seashore? Yeah. You can go there any time. Right. But then it's also like the stars in heaven. So that means God has two types of people on this earth. One is the earthly kingdom, the Jewish people. And the other type is the heavenly people. Where do you find the stars on this earth? It's up there. We are the stars. We are the heavenly people, spiritual and heavenly. This is why there are two Jerusalem. One is earthly. Galatians says there's an earthly Jerusalem. Signifies through Hagar. And then there's a Jerusalem above, signified through Sarah. Another Sarah. Right, our mother above, spiritual. So you have an earthly kingdom. The earthly kingdom was a big mess. Now you tell me, how about the spiritual kingdom? It's also messy. It's also messy. Terrible. Messy. So it depends on your vision right now. Where does the Lord open your eyes and help you to understand and see what's going on today? Right. So here you have to realize today the Lord is building the heavenly kingdom, not something earthly and not something of the flesh, but it is a spiritual kingdom. This is why the Jews were asking the Lord, oh, okay, you're talking about the kingdom, because it's called the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew, the word kingdom is mentioned, well, I think at least 57 times. And hey, the kingdom of the heavens, that means it is heavenly. But where is it? So the people ask, okay, where is the kingdom? What if the Lord answers them? The kingdom of heaven doesn't come with observation. Not, you can not see it with your eyes. But he says, behold, the kingdom is within you. How can the kingdom be within you? Because now the king is dwelling in you. And you're part of this heavenly kingdom. So do you listen to the king? Only once in a while? I hope more and more. Right. It's an exercise. The kingdom of the heavens doesn't come with observation. Don't try to see with your eyes, with your physical eyes. You cannot see it. If you're trying to see something visible and physical, you will be very disappointed, because there's a lot of troubles. But you have to see the kingdom in the spirit. Then you touch the reality, because you're touching the king. The king is the kingdom. The emphasis of the kingdom is the king. Without a king, you will never have a kingdom. You can just have a dumb. What kind of a dumb? A dumb dumb. Without a king, it is impossible. It is really impossible. Don't ever replace the king with somebody else. It's not going to work. He is irreplaceable. Cannot be replaced. And if anybody wants to be the king, you show him the door. And we got two here. Sorry, we don't have the window. Right. Maybe we do. Right? You throw him out of the window. Right. No, nobody can replace our king. No one. Remember this. If you want a kingdom, you need to know the king. Right. So in this coming evening meetings, we want to share more concerning this matter, especially the law of the kingdom, the constitution. Because a kingdom without a law, this is what happened to this country. Throw away the Constitution. If you do that in this country, you don't have a nation anymore. Anything goes. You can do anything you like. This is lawless. This will be lawless. And Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians that lawlessness will increase, not decrease, will increase. And this is a sign of the Lord's second coming, that lawlessness will increase. And now in this country, look. What's FBI for? Federal Bureau of Injustice. Oh, what is it? Right. All of this agency became lawless, doing whatever they want. They have their own power. Do whatever they like. My goodness, it becomes a horrible thing. Lawless. What are we going to do? Nothing. The only solution is for the Lord, the King, to come with his kingdom. So what is he waiting for? And who are the us? Huh?
You and I.
Just the two of us? He's waiting for a remnant. That's why the Bible talks about the remnant. Not the majority, because the majority didn't want a king. But a minority, a remnant who realize that the Lord is the king. Do you want to be a part of the remnant? To know the king. You have to have a close relationship to the king. Like what John says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And his burden is to bring us into relationship, not with John, but with the Father and with the Son. Your relationship with him, with the king. But the problem is, in the past we all have seen that problem. Okay, the Father sent the Son, now the Son sent Stefan, and the Stefan sent Emmanuel. And so in order to really know the Father, you have to have a good connection to Stefan and Emmanuel. This is definitely not the way. We all must have direct connection to the headship of Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, to grow up. How are you going to grow up? Into the head, which is Sam Huang. John Yao. Which is Christ. Every member of your body is joined to the head. Not joined to your shoulder. Of course, it's all joined together, but to the head. The head decides everything. Can you imagine your hand make their own decision what he wants to do? You're going to be in big trouble. So, may the Lord open your eyes and our eyes and every one of us. The building is not Okay, I'm going to be one with John Yao. It's not good enough. We all have to be one with the head. If you're one with the head, this hand is one with the head, the left hand is also one with the head, the legs are one with the head, everything is one with the head, then the body is one. Because every member is joined to the head. If every member is joined to Christ and one with Christ, we will have no problem with the oneness. It's not standing on the ground. Of course, when standing on the ground, where else can you stand? You cannot be floating in the air. But I've seen so many troubles, divisions on the ground, so to speak. So the real oneness is holding the head, out of whom the whole body is fitly framed together. It is out of the head. So our oneness is not a doctrine of oneness. It never works. Oh, we have to be one, George. We have to be one. We must be one. Okay? We'll keep the one. Try? No. Try? Your left hand has to try to be one with the right hand. Are they trying so hard to be one? No. You sure? How did it work?
Through the head.
You see? Is that a doctrine? It's the life. The real life will cause us to be joined to the head, which is Christ. Then even the little fingers here is joined to the head. And this is the real kingdom, our connection directly to the headship of Christ. This is why in the outline we said the king is the emphasis. You cut off the head, what happens?
That's it.
What's it? The end. You cut off the head, that's the end. Right? Okay? All agreed?
Yes.
You want me to cut off your head? No. You can cut the hair, but not the head. Praise the Lord. Let's have some prayers.